Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message was recorded and produced at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Cool.
Thank you, Neil.
Did anybody come 460 from Christiansburg? Took me 40 minutes to get here. I've never been so nervous. Thought I was going to be late. My new worst feeling ever is being late for church when I'm speaking. So hope that never has to happen again. I'll probably always leave an hour early now to get to church. But seriously, thank you guys. I love you guys. I love North Star. I love our church. I love what we do. And it's really been a huge encouragement to me over the last few years, just being a part of the congregation and the fellowship and the fellowship that we talk so much about at North Star. So it's exciting. I'm thankful that I get to share with you tonight because I absolutely love apologetics. And I think we'll touch on that a little bit tonight. The idea that we can defend the faith and that we can know the faith, we can know the scriptures. And that is exciting to me. So this week we'll be looking at scripture internally. The primary thing we'll focus on is how we believe scripture is inspired by God. And we'll go over that a little bit. And then next time, I think July 11th, Kirkland Broadwell will be speaking, and he'll kind of be touching on some stuff externally, like how we came with the 66 books of the Bible and how we can trust that they're inspired and how we come up with that. So I'm excited about that. I'll definitely be here. I can't wait to hear from Kirkland. So everybody has a sheet, the blanks. Cool. All right. Some of the stuff we're going to breeze through because I know we don't have a ton of time, and I know Neil's made it very clear he's going to throw something at me if I go too long. So let's start here at the top, and the title says, "How Can We Know God?" This is very important from an apologetic standpoint. Apologetics just means really defending the faith, and we could talk more about that, but there's some, I think, some links on the back of the sheet you guys can look at. Are there links on the back? Okay, good. So, Revelation. What is Revelation? The first blank there is general revelation, and that is God revealing himself through creation. A cool scripture that Paul wrote in Romans 1:20, says, "Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made." And then it says, "so that men are without excuse." I think that's so powerful because we have, you know, so many people in our world today who say, "I'm an atheist, right? I don't believe in God. I believe in the science only. I don't need the Bible." Well, the Bible says that those men are without excuse. We've talked about creation on Sunday mornings and how that in the beginning, God forms man from the dust and he breathes life into him. The Bible tells us that the law of man is the law of God is on the hearts of man, right? So even from creation, when men were made in the image and likeness of God, the law of God was placed on their heart. Paul says men have no excuse, right? There's no excuse to say there is no God. General revelation is where God reveals himself through creation. So if we look up at night and we see the stars and the moon, if we think about our own consciousness, how we have thoughts about our thoughts, right? We're deep creatures. We think about things. If you think about how intricate the eyeball is, you know, how it connects to the brain in such a way that no human could have created that, right? Science, some scientists, some atheistic scientists will tell you that literally came from nothing. That in the beginning was nothing. There was the Big Bang. Lightning struck primordial soup or whatever they believe, and that's how the world began to form. But the Bible tells us something different. And general revelation is the idea that all men can know there's a God, even without the scriptures, right? And if you want to go further in that, you can read Psalms 19. And it's a beautiful picture of God and creation and David writing about that. The second form of revelation is special revelation. Special revelation. And special revelation is literally God revealing himself through the written word. And obviously we call that the scriptures, we call it the Bible, we call it the word of God. It is God communicating to us. The Bible is not man's interpretation of what God is, okay? So when we say that men wrote the Bible, we don't mean that they were trying to tell us what they think God is. We believe that inspiration means that God worked through man to reveal himself to us. So when you see scripture like 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all are made alive. You don't know that through the world around us. You can't look at the stars and see your sin nature, right? The Bible reveals that to us. And without that special revelation, without God's word, we couldn't know our need for Christ. And then letter B there, the Bible reveals God's plan of salvation through Christ. This is the epitome of special revelation, okay? This is how we know Christ. This is how we know the cross, the resurrection, the empty tomb. It comes through God revealing himself to us. So we really and truly, in our prayer, we should thank God for his word. Because without it, we really can't know him. We can't know Christ. We can't know about the cross. We can't know about our sin nature. It's a beautiful picture of God's love for us. So man doesn't reveal God through the scriptures. God reveals himself through man to reveal us, to us Christ. Okay? So the next question, obviously, if we say that God reveals himself, we ask, how can we ask, is scripture from God? And then your title there, the first blank. The focus of really this week and July 11th is really the inspiration of God. So number one there, the Bible is inspired. The Bible is inspired by God. The text we're going to focus on is from 2 Timothy 3:16 and verse 17. And it's there in the NASB. It's on your sheet. And it basically says, all scripture is inspired by God. It says that it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. That is the inspiration. Tonight we're going to focus just briefly, really, on the first few words of that text, and that is that all scripture is inspired by God. We'll skip on down to verse 2 just for time's sake, or to line 2 there. But the Greek word that Paul uses in 2 Timothy 3 is the word theopneustos. Theopneustos. And it is the Greek word that literally means inspired by God. Inspiration in English, you know what it means. It's motivation. It's encouragement. It's something that drives you to be something greater than yourself. When we talk about inspiration from the Bible, oftentimes we talk about the divine inspiration. We really believe that in the same way you can be inspired by a motivational speech, in the same way God can divinely inspire us to live for him. And we believe that that is through the special revelation of the Bible. But theopneustos, we believe, is taken from two Greek words. All right, and the first is theos. Does anybody know what theos is in the Greek? Anybody? So theos is God, that's right. It is God. And then pneo is the second word. It is to breathe or to blow, and it can also refer to wind, all right? Paul was telling young Timothy, he was a pastor, he was saying, Timothy, all scripture is literally proceeds from God. All scripture is inspired by God. If you have a NIV Bible, it'll say all scripture is God-breathed. We really and truly believe that all scripture is God-breathed. We believe that's what Paul was telling Timothy. He said, you can trust it. It's good for reproof, correction. It'll teach you. It'll train you. It can equip you to live for God, to be a righteous man of God. Paul believed that Scripture was inspired by God. I think it's incredible, in light of what we've been talking about on Sunday mornings with Jeff, that in Scripture, when God creates, he speaks and he breathes, right? I think about Genesis 1, how God has spoken creation into existence. Genesis 1, verse 3 is the first time we hear that God said. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let the waters separate. God said, you know, let the earth produce vegetation. God said, let us create man in our own image. God says. It's the inspiration of creation. When God speaks, things are formed into existence. In Genesis 1, the term God said is used at least 10 times. There's a blank there. In Genesis 1, the term God said is used at least 10 times. I believe with all my heart that everywhere in Scripture, when God speaks, life is formed. Genesis 2:7, God forms man from the dust and breathes into his nostrils. There's the breath of God. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is what? Alive. The Word of God is alive or living. It's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces deep. It judges the hearts of men. There's that anthropomorphic idea about the Bible that it is human-like. It has these living characteristics, right? It is human-like and it teaches us. And then I love John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And all things were created through Him. And what's it say? In Him was life. And this life was the light to men. And the light shines through the darkness. You see, there's life in the Word. There's life in Christ. And guess what? It shines out through the darkness. And the Bible says, John 1:5, the darkness cannot overcome it. I think Kirkland's going to talk a little bit about how, when the apostles and the writers of Scripture first wrote the words, they were preserved. They were carried over. That the Word we have in our Bible today, we believe is literally accurate to the thought for thought that the original authors were intending. We believe that this light has shined through the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. That God has divinely inspired it. I can't wait to hear His message because there is no greater text that has been preserved in the history of the world, in my viewpoint, than the Bible. I wish we could get into it tonight. There's definitely not enough time for that. It is exciting that there is nothing that will ever overcome the Word of God. So, I believe with all my heart that Scripture is inspired. I believe it's the breath of God. I believe that when God speaks, we should listen. And I believe it touches our heart and it changes us and it propels us to action. So I think a normal question that arises when we say Scripture is inspired is, what do the authors believe? And I remember years ago asking myself, did Peter, did Paul, did they really think they were speaking for God, or were they just writing? And somebody later said, you know what, these are good. We're going to keep these in the Bible. We're going to put these here. But the Bible really tells us what they thought about their own work. The authors of the Bible believed they were inspired. The authors of the Bible believed they were inspired. In the Bible, there are between 3,000 and 4,000 claims by the writers that they had received their message from God. That's mind-boggling. In this book right here, 3,000 to 4,000 times, the authors say, I'm speaking on behalf of God. All the way from the beginning, the Old Testament, to the end, Revelations, the writer John, they believed they were speaking from God. And it's cohesive in that all of them agreed on the same thing. They were speaking from God. So in this section here, we're going to focus just a little bit on some of the people who wrote the text and where it says that they believed they were speaking on behalf of God. Letter B there, Moses. Moses believed that what he wrote in Scripture was inspired. And he believed that his message was from God and that it was the authority of man. The authority of man. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Where is Deuteronomy 6, verse 1? It says, now this is the commandment, and this is Moses speaking, the same person that wrote Genesis that we've been talking about on Sunday mornings. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which our Lord, our God, has commanded me to teach you. So Moses thought God was telling him to teach this, okay? He really believed he was speaking on behalf of God. And then in verse 6, he tells man, keep these words on your heart. That's authority. He says, use these words. Live by them. Keep them on your heart. One of my favorite people in the Old Testament, King David, He wrote most of the Psalms, most of the longest book in the Bible. We can look at the passage in 2 Samuel 23, verses 2 and 3. Here's what David said himself. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His words were on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me." So David in the Psalms, David in Psalms 19 that you can read that I quoted for general revelation, David said, "I'm speaking from the Rock of Israel, the God of Israel. I'm speaking on behalf of God." And then you see there, letter D, Moses and the other prophets. You can check those out later if you want. Joshua and Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Habakkuk. They all claimed to be speaking for God. And then letter E, Paul. We know that Paul wrote most of the New Testament, maybe two-thirds of it. Paul believed he was speaking from God. He's the one that wrote 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is inspired." There's two references there, 1 Corinthians 2:13. Paul said, "We also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those words taught by the Spirit." 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says, "When you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the words of men, but for what it really is, the word of God." Paul absolutely believed that his message was from the word of, from the mouth of God. And then F, Peter. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:21, "For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will." No humans conjured this up, right? No humans made this up and sold it and it was successful with it. He said, "No human has ever made this as an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." I have a feeling Kirkland's going to touch on that verse because it's men who gave us the text, but it is absolutely from God. And we could talk about that a lot more. Luke, I love Luke 1, verses 4, 1 through 4. Luke basically says, "I have painstakingly searched to tell you the exact truth." Luke, a cool story I read recently. Luke mentions in Luke 8:3, I believe, a woman by the name of Joanna. In Luke 8:3. And Joanna is married to a guy named Chuzza. And Chuzza is a steward to Herod. You know that Herod tried Jesus. Herod had John the Baptist thrown in prison and ultimately killed. Luke does all this research. And he talks about it if you read Luke 1 through 4. Luke painstakingly, he interviews people. He researches it. And he says he does that so that we may know the exact truth. I love that. And then finally, H, maybe one of my favorite people in all of Scripture, John the Baptist. He was not an author. I have to believe that if he lived long enough, he would have been an author of Scripture. He was put in prison for what he preached. Neil Nelson says that John the Baptist had crazy eyes. All right? Probably did. That's absolutely not inspired. The Bible says that John lived in the wilderness. He wore camel's hair for his clothes. He ate bugs. He dipped his bugs in honey. All right, it sounds a little bit like Neil Nelson, but you know, it's hard to tell. We were at a campfire the other night talking, and we were getting kind of deep, you know, just some guys talking about life and the Word, and there was this bird. It was getting late, and this bird was so loud, just chirping away. And at first, we all kind of looked at each other like, "That bird's awful loud. It's kind of bothering us." But we got used to it. And this particular bird just hung around for at least 5 minutes. And I was just looking around. Somebody else was talking about something important. And I saw Neil. And Neil was over there nodding his head and tapping his feet with the bird. Just going to town. Neil is like a John the Baptist man. I believe if he could have a fishing rod and a hammock, he'd go live in the wilderness and eat bugs probably. But I love you, Neil. But John the Baptist believed he was inspired. Again, he's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. In Matthew 11:11, Jesus says something that's just astounding to me. He says, "Of all the men born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist." I think that's absolutely incredible. All four gospel writers, all four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, At the beginning of all the Gospels, they talk about John. And they say John is the fulfillment of Isaiah 40, the Old Testament scriptures. John the Baptist fulfills them. It says that I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the paths. He says, let the mountains crumble. Let the valleys be filled in. Let the crooked paths be made straight. Let the rough paths be made smooth. John said, I am fulfilling that. He was the forerunner for Christ. He prepared the way for Christ. He baptized people. The Bible says people from all over were coming and confessing their sins and being baptized by John. And John's message was that the one that comes after me is greater than I. He said, I love it. John says, I have to decrease and he has to increase. How powerful is that? I mean, today, man, we talk about, I'd like a little bit of me and a lot of God, right? That's our attitude. John said, I don't want any of me. He said, take me down to nothing. Let me decrease and decrease and let him increase and increase. Man, I hope that's our prayer, that we'll be like John the Baptist. But I love the person of John the Baptist. John said, the writer of the book of John said in John 1:6, he said, and there came a man sent from God whose name was John. And he was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. And then John the Baptist in John 1:33 said, the one that sent me, talking about God. Remember, he said, God sent John. John said, the one that sent me told me who I see the Spirit descend on. He is the chosen one. And you know the story of the baptism when John baptizes Jesus, the Spirit like a dove descends on him. And he comes out of the water and the voice from heaven comes down and says, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased. I love the story of John the Baptist. We'll skip those last two sections. But let's briefly touch on, for the next few minutes, of the second section, the next section there. Jesus believed he was from God. Jesus believed he was inspired. You know, that sounds obvious, but we live in a world that paints Jesus to be this good guy, right? Jesus told people to love each other. Jesus had good morals. Well, the Bible says that Jesus was God. If you look at C.S. Lewis's Lord Liar Lunatic Dilemma, you realize that Jesus can't be a good man and be God. He is God. He has to be God. John 6:44, Jesus said, no one comes to me unless the Father draws him, or unless the one who sent me draws him. John 14:6, most of you know it, no one comes to the Father but by me. So you see the inverse of those. Jesus is saying, I'm equal with God. And then finally, in a verse that we could use to culminate all of the inspiration of Scripture, Matthew 5:17-18, after Jesus comes out of the, after Jesus is talking on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish. He says, but I came to fulfill. Jesus believed he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He believed Scripture was inspired. And he believes he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And finally, when Jesus came out of the wilderness, just a side note, the devil tempted him. They said Jesus was hungry. And Satan said, if you're the Son of God, take this rock and turn it into a loaf of bread. And Jesus said, it is written that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And there's that concept again. What comes from God's mouth? That inspiration, that God breath, that's what we live on. And that's what we can trust. So wherever you're at in life, I believe this is for you today. It's for me that we can literally trust and believe. What we read in Scripture is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for the special revelation of God's Word, where He gives us Himself and we can read it. And He used men to write it, right? He put it on our level. We don't have to, in Islam, you have to know the Eastern Arabic, right? To know the true Scriptures. In Christianity, you just got to get a Bible. Because it's preserved, it's true, it's accurate. And there's some links on the back of your page where you can go into more of that. But I think I'm out of time. The next blank's there. Inerrancy means that Scripture's without error. Inerrancy means that Scripture is without error. And scriptural authority means that It is the ultimate and final authority over the believer's life. And then in the last section, since the Bible is God's Word, we can trust it. And not only we should trust it, but it has implications for our life. We should live by it. The Bible says that anyone who trusts in God will never be put to shame. You know that? If you live by the Word, you're promised a reward. You're promised life abundant. You're promised eternity with Christ. You'll never be put to shame. So I hope that we can live by that. And then I'll share with you the last verse there. Psalms 119, 105. David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Let us live that way, right? Then maybe we can't see the next few steps, but maybe we can just see one step. And that's the Word of God. It leads us. Maybe just another step. We have faith in Him. We have faith in the Word. And we can trust it.
Thank you. This can take.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.